As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Kyle Dubas addressing the media right now after the Penguins' disastrous season ends with a third straight non-playoff appearance. Their worst full season since Sidney Crosby's rookie year. I feel like you don't hear much about how disastrous their year was because somehow this has all been cloaked as a rebuild by the Kyle Dubas backers. But Bob, this was a disaster, was it not? Did I miss something?
I mean, it's a disaster when you have that kind of roster and they don't make the playoffs for three straight years, knowing that that was the goal. It was pretty much put out there by the organization that the goal is to get them into the playoffs and have a shot at winning a Stanley Cup before it's all said and done. And so far that hasn't happened, despite the fact that Sidney Crosby had a record kind of season with 91 points at the age of 37. And man, incredible stuff from him. And yet here they were, well out of any playoff positioning.
Some of those quotes are quite interesting, I might add, in terms of salary cap, I should say, in terms of Erik Karlsson, who he took a little bit of a shot at. Did you see this?
I saw that, yes. Go ahead, read it.
Dan Kingurski. That's a real account, yes? Okay. Kyle Dubas on Erik Karlsson. Quote, his actions have to match his ambitions. Wow. How about that?
Well, I think that's true, though.
Well, yeah, it is.
It is true.
But who's the guy who brought him here? And I didn't argue with it then, believe me.
No, his ambitions are to win Norris trophies, are to, score a lot of points. And, but the one thing that he's always been is a liability at times defensively. So you could put up with that as long as the other stuff is there. But when it's not there, is certainly to the degree that they expected, then that's a problem.
We'll get to that.
Still a superbly talented player who can do, I think, more
sure
than what he's shown.
Yes. We'll get to Dubas's comments. In the meantime, Bob and I were not here for the Aaron Rodgers, Pat McAfee appearance. There's a lot here, and of course, it's still very, very pertinent because the Steelers still don't have a starting quarterback unless you consider Mason Rudolph to be a starting quarterback. I don't. And the draft is coming up. They said they would wait on Aaron Rodgers, but not forever. I don't know what that means, Bob. We have a draft happening. I would say this before we even hear any of the clips, is that Cam Hayward put it well a while back, and certainly this contrasted to last year when he was the lead PR man, the lead Steelers ambassador in trying to draw Russell Wilson here, spending an hour with him on FaceTime and all of that. He basically said about Rodgers, either you want to play for us or you don't. Either you want to be a Steeler or you don't. You guys tell me, after hearing this from Aaron Rodgers, did it sound to you like he's just chomping at the bit or even champing at the bit, Bob. I've never figured out that saying. To play for the Steelers? Is that what it sounded like to you? Because it sounded to me like, yeah, I guess I'm interested in still playing. Yeah, I might play, but they can do whatever they want. Anybody, by all means, if you don't want me, go ahead, move along. There's issues in his personal life, and I don't want to make light of that because that's a big deal. But aside from that, it didn't sound like a guy who's just fired up to come play for the Steelers and is ready. It sounds like a guy who's very torn over whether he even wants to play football, let alone for the Steelers. Thoughts?
Yeah, and you know what Chuck Noll always said about thinking about retirement? That likely means you're already there. So he has that, to, you know, and I always thought retirement was something that he'd have to consider. But I also thought the Steelers are the one team that hasn't moved on from him. There have been others who basically said no. I mean, it started with the Jets. I thought his answer with the Jets was very interesting, how he was annoyed that they flew him cross country to a meeting, and then within the first 5 minutes of it, they said, you know, we're going to go in a new direction and you're not going to be part of it. And he was upset that he had to fly cross country to do it. But that also tells you about the Jets, that they've seen enough of him and they don't want him. Minnesota didn't want him. And he made it very clear he would like to. The one team that hasn't pulled away from him is the Steelers.
Yeah.
And he still may not, you know, if he's looking at the situation, maybe it doesn't line up for him in terms of what he's expecting one last season to look like. I'm not sure because there's no communication other than what he said. And what he said left me hanging like, okay, this is never going to get solved. Or this is another thing that he may say that, hey, I'm taking my time. I got stuff in my life. Everyone has stuff in their life. I understand. But that shouldn't stop you from making a decision for a game that isn't going to be played for 6 months.
Yeah, a career decision, right.
Which also tells me he may not be willing to do all the ancillary stuff, you know, the OTAs, the mini camps, these things, whatever, because he didn't do it in New York.
Maybe he's got time to go on the Pat McAfee show and whine about his lot in life and how the Jets mistreated him. He's got time. He had time to fly to New York, so he made a career decision there.
Yeah.
To me, the most interesting thing that Aaron Rodgers said the other day, I thought, was a self-incrimination. And when I asked that question, or when Hayward asked that question, do you want to be a Steeler or not? Which is almost a way of saying, do you want to play football or not? Aaron Rodgers himself said that Aaron Glenn said, you want to play football? And Rodgers' answer, according to Rodgers, was not absolutely,
no,
man.
It wasn't
yes,
like, I'm, yes, I'm still I'm ready, in. I'm engaged. No.
It was, yeah, I'm interested. Oh, really? You're interested? Well, that's nice to hear. He has a way, Aaron Rodgers does, of phrasing things in such a way that you don't know what the hell he's talking about. It's not a straight answer. You want to play football? That's a yes or no question. And he answered
it. Especially this late in the proceedings.
Yeah, I'm interested. In other words, let's hear what you got to say. No, you interested or not? Do you want to be a Steeler or not? What would he say to that? Yeah, I'm interested.
Well, I think McAfee followed up with that same question. And, I mean, he did not give an answer, a definitive answer anyway. He gave an answer, but it was not yes or no. It was, you know, I'm going through the process, that kind of stuff.
And if they want to move on, by all means, he said, move on.
I mean,
that doesn't sound like someone
who's...
Exactly.
But this leads up to where we are. We're just a couple of days away from round one of this draft. And I wonder how much of this decision or non-decision will impact their decision in the first round.
I mean, hopefully none. Either you love a guy or you don't love him.
To which Austin's pointed out earlier that there's, and I felt this all along, like, if the Steelers really want a second-round pick and they're not willing to trade George Pickens, the best way to do it is trade down in the draft.
Yeah.
Accumulate more picks, especially if your goal is not to bring in a quarterback this year. Because there are a lot of good defensive players. You can help someone move up, jump over you, and get a second-round pick to do it, or something of that nature.
And you're saying Adam Schefter is saying that. Yes, Limits?
Yeah, Schefter put out a huge piece today for ESPN that basically detailed a lot of things that he's hearing in the draft. And one of them is that the Steelers are interested in moving down from 21. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that could be to recoup maybe that second round pick. Maybe they trade out of the first round entirely if one of the quarterbacks are gone or if the defensive tackles are gone. But there is some interest in there for them to acquire more picks.
I would like them still to retain a first round pick of some sort so they can get one of those defensive linemen and then pick up an additional pick or two by moving backwards a few spots, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, in the meantime, we have the specter of Rodgers hanging over the whole franchise. I think Jerry Dulac was on with Rich Eisen saying the Steelers are not flying by the seat of their pants here. Is he sure about that? Because it sure looks to me like they wanted Justin Fields and missed on him because they lowballed him. They lied about wanting Russell Wilson because he was perfectly available and they didn't try to get him. Darnold, it seems like maybe they wanted. He's gone. They brought back a guy they let go without a fight last offseason in Mason Rudolph, who's 9-8-1 in his career, with 28 touchdowns and 20 picks and an 84 passer rating. In other words, a backup, a career backup. And now they're sitting around waiting for Aaron Rodgers. Are we sure, Bob, that they're not flying by the seat of their pants here? Because it sure looks that way to me.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way that this was part of their planning in January, right? I mean, it's safe to say that. There was no way that this was a situation, whether it was bringing in Rudolph or waiting for Rodgers. That could not have been part of
it. It seems like plan A was Justin Fields.
Right, and they should have done doubled down and gone after plan A harder than I thought. It would have made everything else a little easier to figure out moving forward. Plus, I do believe there's an upside for him, and I think we'll see what happens in New York. But if he hits it a little bit better in New York and things work, they would have solved their quarterback dilemma then.
I mean, this is making the Steelers look horrible here. Mike Florio's even changed his mind. He was arguing for Rodgers a couple weeks ago. Now he says he's done a 180 and that it's just going to be a mess if Rodgers comes here. By the way, he talked about, and I had forgotten about this, Florio talked about the passive-aggressive fight, and that's a great word for Aaron Rodgers. He's the king of passive-aggressive. The fight with Matt LaFleur over, quote, the audible thing. And Florio recounts that LaFleur's offense gave the quarterback limited flexibility to change plays that were called in the huddle. Does that sound familiar, Bob? And Rodgers was, quote, mystified that LaFleur wouldn't give an experienced and brilliant quarterback permission to do whatever he wanted. Huh, that sounds familiar because the exact same thing happened here with Ben and with Russell Wilson. So anybody out there who thinks that this would be smooth sailing because of the bromance between Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers, I think is out of their mind. It's easy to say in April that this would all work out wonderfully. You remember in June, the Eric Carlson-Mike Sullivan marriage, June a couple years ago, was going to be wonderful, wasn't it, Bob? And then the season started and the games happened, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. They're in a situation now where they're just trying to figure out something in their quarterback room. I don't think anywhere along the plans in January or whatever that Mason Rudolph was a consideration for them. If he had been, he would have signed here last year. They would have made a legitimate effort to keep him, but they didn't. And only after the Fields thing kind of blew up, they didn't get him, and now they're searching for other options.
They had no concrete plan other than it seems like they thought they were going to get Justin Fields. Other than that, they do seem like they're flying by the seat of their pants. They seem to be acting out of abject desperation, and man, do they look desperate.
But here's the thing now. Jerry also said that they have a first-round grade on both Shedeur Sanders and Jaxson Dart.
Yes, yes.
So would that incline them to get aggressive if they feel that way? Now, first-round grade doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be a franchise quarterback either. You have a first-round grade. Okay. They had one on Mason Rudolph, too, and they end up going in the third round. That doesn't guarantee anything, but it makes you think that their evaluation means those two guys can come in here and do something.
Yeah.
So would you think they would get aggressive enough to move up? Let's say that one of them falls. I'm not sure who. One of them falls, and they're three picks away. And they have that first-round grade.
If they don't, and if word doesn't come out that they didn't, then I'm going to believe that they really, unless they're convinced that the three teams in front of them weren't looking for a quarterback. You know what I mean, Bob? That's the thing. If they feel perfectly comfortable that they don't have to move up, although another team could jump in front of them. You're right about that. And they said they moved up to try to get Pickett, remember?
Yes.
If you love a guy that much and he's going to be the face of your franchise and you don't make an attempt to move up to get him, then I would wonder about that, how much you really believe in him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but they do have another set of needs that have to be solved here, I think, in this draft.
They do, but they really only have one as a franchise. They need a franchise quarterback.
But you better make sure that this guy, whoever it is, it's got to be.
Maybe none of these guys is it. By the way, I'm back on the Jackson Dart bandwagon. Who was it that knocked me for a loop last week?
That was
Bruce Feldman.
Yeah,
right. That hurt.
I didn't know you were officially off.
I was never off. I was teetering. I had one leg off the side of the bandwagon.
Teetering. The train was going a little bit too fast there, Bob. It almost came off the tracks.
Yeah, it did.
Well, that's if you know Joe, you know how that goes.
Back, and I'm going to be ecstatic if they draft Jackson Dart. I think he's the guy. But this is a situation in which everybody's looking at the Steelers, I think, around the football world and say, really, you're sitting around waiting for Aaron Rodgers? What are you doing? And Florio suggested, he put out a poll, Twitter poll, where it was like 50-50 a few weeks back on whether Steeler fans wanted Aaron Rodgers. And then, as he put it, basically the same amount of people voted when he redid the vote, and it's like 70% against Rodgers. So I wanted to ask that same question of you out there.